The reading tonight is taken from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21, and this can be found on page 1044 in the Church Bibles. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray as we sit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that our ears may be open to hear what Jesus has to say to us this evening through the word, and our hearts and minds may be ready to be changed for Jesus' glory. Amen. So here's a question. When did you last call someone a fool? Or when were you last called a fool? Well, of course, in Reigate, we're far too nice to use words like that. But I wouldn't be too surprised if you hadn't said it sometimes to the telly or possibly to another car driver. I came across an interesting a quote which comes from an American actor called Will Rogers, who died in 1935. And he's taking an old English proverb. The old English proverb goes like this, probably very familiar to us: "A fool and his money are soon parted." And Rogers has slightly adapted that, and I think this may well be a word of prophecy, because it goes back to well before the Second World War. A fool and his money are soon elected. It's God who uses the word fool in our parable today. And this is, in fact, as far as I can tell, it's the only parable in which God is actually a character. And the first thing he says in it is, "You fool." Let's think about the story. The setting is quite straightforward. At verse 13 of chapter 12 of Luke, there's a squabble between two brothers over an inheritance. And Jesus' line on it is he doesn't want to take it. He doesn't want to be involved. And he comes up with a crucial saying at verse 15, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." Which raises an interesting question. So what does life consist in? Then comes the parable. The rich man's land is very productive, and he decides, presumably, to store his grain in bigger barns until the prices rise, because obviously if his land is productive, so is everyone else's, and therefore there's a glut on the market. And he's looking forward to a prosperous future. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. It's what we all thought retirement was going to be. But God appears, and it's a word of judgment. You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. You're going to die. Then what will you get? Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And then comes the concluding saying, which is a warning from Jesus. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. So why is this rich man foolish rather than wise? Why does God call him a fool? Well, it seems to me he's got a number of problems. One is a mental problem. His mind is fixated on himself alone. He doesn't see beyond himself. He uses words like I, me, my, and so on. Then he seems to have a heart problem, because he's clearly a man who's in love with his possessions and with his money. And Jesus will say later on in this chapter, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And he's also got a memory problem, because he's forgotten the inevitability of death, and that it comes at an unpredictable time. And maybe he's forgotten that, as they say, you can't take it with you. There was a service that was being held, and they were singing an old hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. And somebody sang, when I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. This is imagining death as being the River Jordan. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side, in other words, in heaven. Unfortunately, he changed it to land my safe on Canaan's side. But you can't take it with you, and that's what the rich man has forgotten. And therefore, he is a bad example to disciples. He's not wise, but foolish. He's like the foolish house builder who built his house on the sand and caused us all to sing that wretched chorus. So let's think about being a fool. Psalm 14 begins, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now that doesn't mean that all atheists are fools. That would be ridiculous. This man is not an atheist in the sense that he doesn't believe in God. His problem is, as a Jew, that he doesn't believe that God matters. He doesn't make a difference, if you like. And this is really what we see with the fool, with the rich man. He doesn't mention God anywhere in his soliloquy. And he takes no notice of God's laws, because God's laws say, if you've got a lot of money, share it with poor people. And he doesn't think of that. And more than that, he doesn't take any account of death, which may come at the time that God chooses. He's forgotten what later would be written in Hebrews chapter 9. People are destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. We can meet the fool in Scripture. He comes at least 70 times in the book of Proverbs. And if you've not tried the book of Proverbs, then I recommend that you use the Good News version of the Bible, which brings it all to life. So here's a few proverbs about fools. The wise get all the knowledge they can, but when fools speak, trouble is not far off. Homes are made by the wisdom of women, but are destroyed by foolishness. A fool will believe anything. Smart people watch their step. It is better to meet a mother bear robbed of her cubs than to meet some fool busy with a stupid project. After all, even fools may be thought wise and intelligent if they stay quiet and keep their mouths shut. Drinking too much makes you loud and foolish. It's stupid to get drunk. Don't try to talk sense to a fool. He can't appreciate it. And this one, a fool doing some stupid thing a second time is like a dog going back to its vomit. Good old Proverbs. Good old Solomon, he got it. So what about the rich man's folly in Jesus' story? Well, he's greedy, and Paul would later say that greed is idolatry. You're worshipping it. He's mean because he doesn't share his possessions. At verse 33, later on in the chapter, Jesus quite specifically says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. He doesn't think of that. And he's worldly. He may be very successful at business. He's an astute businessman. But God's verdict on him is that he is foolish and not wise. So, what sort of advice would you like to give to the rich man? Perhaps you'd like to say to him, you need to remember God and you need to prepare for death. Prepare to meet thy God. Maybe you'd like to say to him, you ought to be rich towards God and not be so concerned about your worldly possessions. Or you might like to say to him, why don't you set your heart on storing up treasure in heaven? After all, this is what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Maybe that's what we'd like to say to the rich man. That's all very well. It's easy to give advice. But how does a person store up treasures in heaven? How can a person be rich towards God? What practical steps would someone like have to take to avoid the folly of the rich man? Now, it's quite interesting that in the Bible, the heart tends to include the mind. In other words, you can think with your heart. In fact, heart and mind are almost synonymous in Scripture. So when Jesus says at verse 34 of this chapter, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, he could equally have said, where your treasure is, there your mind will be. You'll be thinking about it, probably a bit worried about the moth and the thief. So let's look at ourselves for a moment and ask ourselves, where do our minds tend to turn? You see, in the story that Jesus tells, the rich man has a soliloquy, I called it. It's sort of an inner monologue. Instead of praying to God, he talks to himself. So what's our inner monologue like? Where do our minds tend to go when we're not engaged in something else? Well, we know what happens with the rich man. It goes to his treasure, his crops that he's keeping in his barns. His heart and mind are involved. Not only is he thinking of them, but he loves his possessions. And he has no thought of God. So perhaps to be a wise disciple, to be a wise Christian, we need to encourage our minds to center on God. That's not easy. Somewhere, Paul says to his readers, pray without ceasing. I've always stumbled over that one because I don't know how you can possibly pray without ceasing. You can't go on and on saying the Lord's Prayer or anything like that. But of course, the point is that to pray is not only to ask for things, it is to be thankful, it is to offer praise, it is to confess. And it is possible, I know it is possible, to go through a day, not necessarily praying without ceasing, but turning the events of the day into prayer. So being ready to say thank you for something. Someone smiles at you. Thank you, Lord. Someone in a car lets you go first. Thank you, Lord. You look at a beautiful tree of autumn colors. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Something bad slips from your mouth, some word which you wish you hadn't said. Sorry, Lord. You see someone that you know. Lord, bless them, please. Do you see what I'm saying? It is possible, not necessarily to pray non-stop without ceasing, but at least to keep prayer as a habit through the day. That is, our thinking becomes addressed to God. That's a nice tree. Thank you, Lord. That was a lovely smile. Thank you, Lord. And so on. We're not just talking to ourselves then in our thinking. We are talking with God. And what a contrast there is between that rich man who simply talks to himself and a wise disciple who talks with God. Incidentally, one way that can help, I believe, is by keeping a prayer journal, which I've done now for a good many years. And it is a help because it enables you to write down your thoughts, your prayers to God, as well as simply thinking about them. This is, isn't it, a tragic parable. And it raises all sorts of questions, and I think we have to face up to them ourselves. The first is, am I a fool or am I a wise person? Another is, what's the state of my heart? Where does my mind, where does my heart go when I'm, as it were, idling? How prepared am I for death? We don't like to think about that. We call it morbid. But this is the problem. This is one of the reasons why God calls the rich man a fool. He's not prepared for death. He's prepared all his crops and his barns and everything, but he's not prepared for death and the judgment that follows. And where is God in my life? Is he at the center of my life, as we often sing about, or is he actually only on the outskirts and I hardly ever think about him? That would be folly for a disciple. And don't forget, Jesus is talking to disciples in this story. Let's be quiet for a moment. And let's talk to God about our hearts, about our folly, about our death, and about his place in our life. Lord Jesus, it's so very easy for your words to go in one ear and out the other. Yet we have heard your words this evening. We've read your words. The living Jesus. Help us, we pray, to take them to heart and not to commit the same folly as that rich man in the story. Lord, we need your help. We don't find it easy to pray without ceasing. We don't find it easy to keep bringing our mind back to you. Hours go by and we don't think of you. We need the help of your Spirit, Lord, so that we can indeed be those who are wise and not foolish. Those who, for whom God is everything and not just something. We pray that the Spirit of Jesus will keep on working in our minds and in our hearts to transform us day by day. Lord, we long for this. We long for this, Lord. May your Spirit do his work in us, we pray. Not for our own sake, but for your glory. Amen.